Yeah, hello. Okay.
So, hello. Welcome to the Insider Podcast.
Yes. Welcome after the lockdown. Yeah. We are back.
Finally, and, everyone wait.
Yeah. Finally, yeah, everyone was waiting for us. I can imagine.
We managed to connect during those difficult times. Corona is not
a problem. Yeah, many things happened during this time. During this free month, a lot of things happened. Not only COVID. In fact, I think everyone is sick of COVID. Like they don't care anymore. They don't want to hear about it anymore. So, but there are many more other things that happen around the world. So, Adil was telling me about the Russian elections. I don't know how much you can tell me because there are some risks, but what happened?
Yeah, so I'm going to be a bit short on the information, but I'll like make a brief overview of what's happening. So like our government decided to make some adjustments to the constitution. And the thing is that for that, you need to vote. You need the population to vote like for or against the adjustments. And now we have kind of the election process. So like everyone goes there and says like, yeah, I'm for the adjustments. I'm against the adjustments. And the funny thing about these adjustments that they contain a lot of good stuff, such as, you know, laws for preserving the nature and laws for like preserving the culture of our country. But also they contain the laws which will apparently allow our president to like become a permanent president, like allow him to stay for about 10 years if I'm not mistaken, which is a bit of a, you know, a bit of a sketchy thing to be in the constitution. So this is a bit controversial, but like that's how it's going. Now the elections are happening and like in 2 days they're going to release the results. And the good thing, the funny thing about these things is that because Russian economy is in crisis now, they're doing some kind of awards. If you go to elections, it doesn't matter whether you vote yes or no, they're going to give you a voucher where you can win some like coupons money to spend in different businesses such as shops, restaurants or whatever. And that way they are kind of lifting the economy from the crisis. Yeah, that's it's actually interesting. Okay. So you have to, and basically what you have to do, you have to just go there and vote.
And do you reckon this crisis comes from COVID or is just there are other reasons, maybe before COVID? Maybe the how the economy was managed. Or what do you think?
Well, I believe Russian economy wasn't that stable to handle COVID crisis, first of all. And second of all, there were a lot of things that clashed together. For example, there were some speculations going on about oil prices and some problems with the oil. Because I'm not really familiar with that situation, but there is a problematic situation with the demand for Russian oil right now. Partially because of the crisis, because no one wants to buy oil because they don't really want to handle transactions between countries because of the virus. But there was something else. And so, to answer your question, I think it's partly because of COVID, but there are some other reasons I'm not really able to explain, but there are.
Uh-huh. And do you feel like... Because now I presume that the support for Putin doesn't really matter. Like Putin is still on power and will remain on power for a long time, right? Or how is the Russian population reacting?
Well, the thing is that as long as the constitution adjustments are not accepted, Putin will have to re-elect. So they will have to choose a new president. But... Mm-hmm. Let me say that there is a portion of Russian population who thinks that these elections don't matter and that the adjustments will take place no matter how people vote because there will be some trickery going on. And
okay.
Yeah, so that's like, what some part of the population believes, if you know what mm-hmm. what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Yeah. And the other interesting story will be if, in case the adjustments are not accepted, there will be re-elections and we will have to choose a different president, which is going to be like a big thing for Russian people after like 20 years of ruling. Yeah,
definitely. And so like also those people that prefer, like those people think that their vote doesn't matter, right? But they still go to vote due to the vouchers you were telling me.
I mean, the first reason to like exploit these vouchers was to lift the economy, but also when you organize, you know, a huge percentage of the population voting, this is kind of good for the statistics and for the country, because like they can show look, our population is so active, our population votes and it cares about the future of the country, which is kind of a good thing. And yeah, I do think many people go to vote because of vouchers, because, you know, it's free money. That's how economy works.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, because you don't know. What were you saying?
No, I want to point out that the people who think that their vote doesn't matter, they still go to get the vouchers because, you know, it's just...
So, like, people actually like this idea of you go to vote, I give you money.
Well, there is not really anything controversial behind that. They're just using a strategy to promote voting, because we had a problem in Russia that lots of people just don't go voting because they feel their vote is worthless. Now, it doesn't matter whether that's true or not. It doesn't matter whether their vote will count. This strategy does like two good things. It enhances the mm-hmm. statistics, and it lifts the economy from the crisis, because, you know, the money has to go to businesses to pay off the vouchers, so there is business activity going on.
Yeah, sure. I'm not criticizing the policy. Like, I think it's a great idea. As you said, it improves the economy. It does. Actually, it's I've never heard about it before as a strategy.
Yeah, me neither.
If it works, that's great. Like, it's a clever idea. Do you reckon that in Russia, because, like, for example, in Italy, and I think also in England, UK, I think less than Italy, there's a difference between the people that live in the north, the people that live in the south. So, like, how is it divided, the population in Russia? Is there a difference between the east and the west, or?
Well, there is no like a vivid significant difference between the people themselves. It's just the difference between the development of the cities they live in, because in Russia, in the capital, in Moscow, life is pretty good. There are good standards, there are good payments, good jobs and stuff. And when you go outside Moscow, you begin to see like a downgrade in the standards of living. And also, you see a downgrade in the, not the intelligence, but the awareness of the things happening in the country. So I would say that when people living outside Moscow might not be politically aware of the things happening. So like they might vote for the constitution, not knowing the things they're voting for. For example, not being really familiar with the adjustments the government imposes. While if you're in Moscow, you're more familiar with that because there is more social media, there is more, like, you know, all internet activity going on.
Yeah,
and people are just more aware. So I think that's the only division I can talk about, because I don't see anything else. There is no like difference in political views or stuff. It's just the perception.
Yeah, it's just awareness. Okay. Yeah. And soon, I mean, if COVID allows it, there will be American elections.
This is going to be
at the end of 2020. Yeah, and what is the perspective in Russia about the American elections? Because, you know, there was this scandal where Russiagate, right? Where it was said that Trump won the elections due to help of hackers from Russia, and thanks to the help of Putin. So what does a typical Russian think about it?
Okay. I think, in my opinion, it's all hoax and bollocks, because basically there is no significant benefit from Trump being the president to us, because I see in the news, you know, news is all like dirty political games. So I always see in the news how like Russian news criticize Trump and how they criticize America with Trump. So there is no like, I haven't seen anything saying that, oh yeah, Trump has done something good and Trump has benefited Russia in any way. So I think there was no reason really to hack the elections. And also, I don't believe there are resources. I don't believe there are resources to hack the elections in a different country. And especially in a country such as the US. But yeah, and up to now, like, we are not really bothering too much about these elections, because we have now, you know, current problems in Russia, such as COVID, because it's not gone and it's affecting our economy. So I haven't heard much about these elections. I haven't heard a lot of talk about it. So I would say that people haven't specified their attention to that yet.
Okay. Yeah, they have the same problems all around the world.
Yeah.
Russia is one of the countries that have the most cases, I think, judging from the statistics that I saw. The situation of COVID in Italy is becoming all normal. It seems like we're going back to normal after the lockdown. I must admit that the lockdown worked, but we must see if there is a second wave of cases, because that would mean the destruction of the economy again. So we'll see. True. At the same time, we have, because you're talking about the changes in the constitution in Russia, right, after the election. By the way, what was the result?
They're releasing the results in like 2 days.
Ah, okay.
2 days.
Okay, yeah. Okay. 2 days. Okay. So we'll see. But I mean, we know maybe.
I mean, this is history. Yeah, this is going to affect Russia quite a bit, no matter what the outcome will be.
Yeah. And I think not many social media talked about it.
Mm-hmm. No, like, I mean, in Russian social media, they talk a lot about it. And also what I noticed is that young population is very against the adjustments. And there is like a flash mob right now in the media with people posting how they voted against and like compelling others to do so. So there is a lot in Russian social media, but yeah, I believe no one outside
in
cares.
International media like BBC,
yeah,
like Italian media, they don't talk about it. I mean, I think the problem is they mainly focus on COVID and the coronavirus and other things. Black Lives Matter is the main topic right now, but yeah, as you said, it could make history for Russia, not only Russia, maybe also Europe, because often there had been some events where Russian politics, especially Putin, interacted with European politics, also in Italy. We had this scandal where one of the main parties in Italy, right-wing party, Lega, found out that this party received 50 million euros from a Russian oil company. this party is is known for being against the European Union And that's why we often see Putin as someone that interacts with European politics and makes and wants the objective is to make the European Union disappear. This is how we see it. But at the same time, I was telling you that there is a change in laws also in Hong Kong.
Oh,
I don't know if you heard of it.
No, I haven't heard about that one, but I've seen it. Like, I've seen the protests.
Yeah. I don't know if you read about it, but it's the same thing that same. It's a similar thing that is happening in Hong Kong. The same one as in Russia, where they're changing laws to make sure that any kind of protest, any kind of political opinion that is against the state would mean a lifetime sentence to prison. So that's not democratic, right? And maybe we can interview someone from Hong Kong.
Yeah.
That is. Hopefully it can tell us more. Yeah it's 2020 has been one hell of a year.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. You remember the first episode we talked about is with Brian about a possible third world war with Iran, between Iran and US. And now there is this thing, COVID. Yeah. It is what it is, but
it's a bit of a weird situation. But what I want to ask you, like, how do Italians like think of the help Russians provided to Italy? Because, like, I don't know if you know or not, in urban news, about a month ago, there was a lot of stuff which showed how like Russians went to Italy, helped a lot, and well, there was a lot of like heroism in the plots of these news. And like, how is it in Italy? Like, how did you perceive that? Was there anything actually?
Well, let me start from the start. You know, at the start, we had that Italy was the first country with a real outbreak in Europe, right? Of cases. And what I could see from the international perspective, right, is that there was a rush to have Italy's support, right? And once we found out, the Italians found out that Europe wasn't fast enough in giving us resources to make sure that we survived, although they arrived later. Before the European action, we had, in fact, the Russian action for Italy's to support Italy. There was China, and then U.S. arrived. So basically, what happened is that China arrived with support. They sent us the masks. They sent us. Respirators.
Yeah.
Made machines that could
IVL.
Make those cases. Yeah, exactly. And then Russia arrived. They sent us military support and doctors, right?
Yeah.
And I personally saw it as a political move to extend their influence on Italy, right? And Italians saw that too. They started saying, "Oh, look, Europe doesn't help us. But Russia, Cuba, also China does." And that's why I was telling you that we often see Putin as a man that tries to break down the European Union, because I saw that move as not an actual help, but just a way to make sure that the Italians could see that Europe was not doing anything. And that's not his fault. That's Europe's fault.
Mm.
Because they were not being quick. But I saw what happened after the help of Russia. And to be honest, the Russian help, figuratively, was amazing. Like, oh my God, Russians are helping us. But at the end, they weren't helping. Like, they weren't happy. They weren't that much of a help.
So there was little impact.
Yeah, they had a little impact on in helping Italy. Uh-huh. And that's why I say, okay, it was a political move.
Okay.
Because it is not... it wasn't that effective. But after Russia arrived, US arrived, because of course they are scared that Italy is one of the main bases for NATO in Europe, because we are in the Mediterranean Sea. So the US started worrying, and after Russia, the Russians arrived in Italy, you could see that Trump tweeted, "We love Italy." With airplanes flying and in the sky, and releasing Italian flags, Italian flags in the air. And so, and then they released a new, let's say, policy that allowed American businesses to take care of Italian businesses. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, to the economy of Italy was an actual help. Which means, like, basically the policy was that American businesses could now support and invest in Italian businesses. So yeah, Italy, after the outbreak of the cases, has been the center of political confrontations, you know, Russia against US and China against US.
Yeah.
But I would say that the help from it was a help. I mean, it's better than nothing, but it wasn't that effective. And there are many studies that show that.
Okay, I see.
Yeah. How did you perceive it? Like, what did you think about the help that Russia gave?
I don't know. I was a bit like skeptical about it. Well, yeah, because of the politics around it. But like, I didn't think it was a bad move, because, you know, still, there is something. Although, as you say, there probably was little to no impact, but there was at least something. And, you know, any help is better than no help. So I didn't perceive it as a dirty move.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I thought it was good. I thought it was just a good thing to do. And if they had any political intentions in their mind, if they had them, well, then it's up to them, you know.
No, I don't think there is, like, I don't think it was a bad move. Like, I mean, it was still a help. But I think there was another reason behind it, you know, not only to help science. But it's fine. I'm just saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a help, but not that effective.
Yeah. No, because I remember your president was accused by Trump, I think, that, like, you know, they're going to partner with Russia because of the help and stuff. And like your president said, that this is this is impolite, and that there is nothing political going on. It's just that they're grateful for help, but they're not going to be dependent on Russia. And that's what I heard from your president. Yeah, so.
Our president is kind of strange. In Italy, we have, you are used to have the same president for 20 years, right? We are used to have one president each year. So, and this president, the current president we have, is has been in two governments. The first one, which was last year, was between a right-wing party and a left-wing party, right? And it was based on populism. And now it's more a left-wing government. And it's crazy to see that last year, this president was supported by Trump, because still there was a right wing kind of influence in the government, Italian government. And now that Conte, the president, Italian president, is a basically left wing government, Trump starts to get scared, starts to get annoyed by this government. By the way, both governments were disaster. I believe they are disasters for the Italians. They with the lockdown, they did some good things and some bad things. They are really disorganized. Like, there's no professional politicians, or there are no potential professional politicians in Italy right now that could make sure that Italy could at least resist to the COVID crisis.
Yeah,
but
that's the kind of thing about. That's the same thing about Russia, because, like, you know, also like having all those elections going on right now. I think like our population would like to get some democracy and vote for the president, no matter who it will be. But the problem is that we don't have, you know, that many candidates for the role of the president, because there is no one outstanding for me, at least, to become a president in Russia, to rule Russia with like potential, you know. And but this is a bit of a problem. There is only one candidate, and you know who it is.
But in Italy, we see this, like, at least in Russia, we see this as because not because there are no good people. It's more like because they're scared to go against Putin. Like, I mean, there is this perspective.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I don't know. I don't know if it's true or not, but like every candidate that went against Putin, not everyone, but like some of them just like was killed, right?
Yeah, let's say my gut instinct tells me that that's true, but like I'm not going to explain why it's true.
Yeah. I don't want to put you in that position. But it's crazy. Yeah, I mean, what I think about the Russian politics is that it's crazy to have, also in China, as an European member, it is difficult for me to see someone as a, not as a dictator, but like, let's say, fake democracy, such as in China. I'm not saying Russia, for your sake, but... It's crazy to see that in 2020 we're still there. We're still in this position. I mean, in Hong Kong, it's disastrous how people are not free to say what they say right now. And it must be awful. It must be awful.
Yeah, especially with the coronavirus. So, 2020 is a ridiculous year. Like, all the layers you go through, you know. First, like, all the Iran Soleimani thing, like the fear of World War III, then all the...
There was, the Olympics were, if it wasn't for COVID, for coronavirus, the Olympics in Tokyo would have happened, right?
Yeah, it's so sad there were no Olympics, because, you know, it's fun every year.
But what do you think? Because it is something that happened in the past 2 years. The Russian Olympic team.
Oh, yeah. Like, the thing is that I cannot tell anything about it because I really don't know. It's difficult to say whether they were just, whether this was unfair or whether they actually used some kind of drugs or medicine. I don't know. Like, I think we will never know, because, you know, how can we prove that one or other case was true?
Mm-hmm. Or what's the national perspective? Like, do they think it's false?
The national perspective? Well, of course, like, the government and all the things connected to it say that was false. And, they say, yeah. But I think not only Russia, but every country would defend their own team. So
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
That's why, like, I cannot tell anything about it, because we just don't know.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, many events that were to happen this year were postponed. Not talking about only like the sport events. There were many things that lost attention due to coronavirus.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have our graduation party.
For example, our year did not have any exam. In Italy, they had the exam.
The IB exams.
The IB exams, they didn't have it.
Okay.
But those who do the national exam in Italy, they have it. And it's a shame for, like, I mean, it's not a shame, but like, for some of us, it's luck. For some of us, it's just. I mean, I had to say bye to you like in 10 minutes. It was just said. We see what happens. For any IB student who's listening to us, this Sunday the results will be out, and we'll see if we have to be angry or happy.
And they also say like a funny thing, you know, if you're unhappy with your results, you can retake the exams in November. Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, exactly. But if you take the exams in November, you have to
miss your year. Uni. Yeah, that's a bit ridiculous.
I mean,
yeah, I don't know. Like, the thing is that we are a bit concerned about what they've done, but like also what would we have done in their position? Because, you know, they can't run exams in such a situation, but they can also say, no, we are not going to put the grades. So they had to come up with something. And now it's up to the universities to decide where they're going to be, you know, harsh, and where they're going to be bad people or not. I don't know. Yeah, you know.
We see it's something that many students will remember.
Yeah. I mean, we're the first year to do so in
switching
like
from
60 consecutive years or anything.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely. We see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I think this thing with coronavirus will last for at least another year. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be that pessimistic, but I don't think we're gonna get back to normal. And it's also sad to start your university. Like, I don't know about you in US.
Yeah.
In UK, that most of the universities will start online again.
Well, in the US, it's a bit different, and that's kind of surprising because, you know, in the US, the situation is much more difficult than in the UK, because there are now like up to 40,000 people a day getting the disease. And my university said they're aiming to keep classes, keep like physical classes. It's just they're going to impose some measures such as like you have to wear a mask and like use the hand sanitizer. But they are definite that there will be classes.
In September.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right now, they're not in a good position in America, in US.
It's not really, but like they say that there will be. To be honest, like I'm not really scared to get the disease. I'm just scared my family or parents will get the disease because, you know, like we young people should take it, should handle it easily. Yeah.
Me too. I'm not scared about that disease. I'm more scared about, my family getting it, but also it would be like, you know, such a pain in the ass.
It will be, but like it's inevitable because for me, like personally, if I go to study in the US physically, during this situation, like I believe like there are no measures to isolate myself from the virus, I will eventually end up getting it, which is like something I have to just accept. It will be a problem, but like
there are many scientists that say that, like they say there's nothing to do, either you get it now or you get it later, because the herd immunity is the solution, the only solution, they say. I mean, We wait for a vaccine comes along. It's difficult to do a vaccine that works. I mean, I'm not sure that as it comes out, I mean, how many people would do their vaccine? I mean,
I was thinking, like, when it's going to come out, I presume it's going to come out in the US. And so, like, how is it all going to work? Because I was thinking, it should be, the vaccine should, like, settle itself on a national level so that every government makes it compulsory to take the vaccine for free. But there will be such a huge demand, which we haven't really experienced, because like every country in the world will demand a vaccine for their whole population.
True.
And this is going to be a bit difficult to provide, you know. I was just thinking, like, what's going to happen? Are we going to have a huge crisis fighting to get like a vaccine, or is it going to just go as normal?
I mean, I don't know about. I think in most countries recently met, and they say they decided that the different proportions of vaccine that they will get from the Oxford vaccine, because Oxford is currently the top one, the best one in finding the vaccine.
Okay.
And they also, they met and they agreed on a deal.
Yeah.
Like. Mm-hmm. Italy gets 20% and all of these deals, but I don't know. But also, is it sure to have a vaccine that is new, completely new?
Mm-hmm.
Is it safe?
Yeah,
like
I think it's going to be quite safe because they have to pass a lot of standards and all the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but the cool thing, like, I want to tell you, like Russia, in Russia, our scientists say they have already developed a vaccine and they're testing it out right now, which is surprising. And well, I hope it turns out to be working, but like a bit too quick for me. But yeah, like we'll see what's going to happen. But yeah, like literally, it's on the news. They say they already have it. They are certain it will work. So
I didn't hear about it. I didn't hear about Russia.
Yeah, probably.
That's great.
Ah, well, I hope so. I hope it's not like some stuff which is just for the news. You know.
How do you reckon it was handled, the COVID crisis in Russia?
How will handle the crisis? I don't know. Like, they're gonna. Well, the thing is look, yeah, we had the lockdown, like complete lockdown, and it worked pretty well. We have now like 400 cases a day in Moscow.
Yeah.
But the thing is that they had to release the lockdown because the businesses were just suffering. So they didn't remove the isolation because it was the end. They removed the isolation because they couldn't do anything else about businesses. And now, like, all the economic activity is going back to normal. But also with it, the spread of virus is going to increase. But nobody knows how. Are we going to... Because now it's pretty solid. We're seeing, like, a slow but gradual decrease in the number of cases. But, you know, first of all, it's statistics. And second of all, you never know when the second wave will strike. So... It all depends on how it goes, and then we will see what happens to the economy.
Mm-hmm. Here in Italy, everything is normal, and they open basically everything. It depends by region. Each region has different policies against COVID. But it seems like everything is normal. They are expecting, however, a second wave in November, and that's why hospitals are preparing. And hopefully it will cause the new wave will cause less death than what it caused now in this period. So yeah, we'll see in November.
Yeah.
But I think it's gonna stick around for a long time, unfortunately.
I still remember the time when we just heard about it and like we kind of perceived it being only the China thing.
Yeah, we only saw it. Okay, it's something in China that's not funny. It's just in China. I was one of those people. I was one of them that said, it's in China. Hopefully, it doesn't come. I don't think it will arrive in Europe. I don't think it will become a pandemic. It's just a virus that, like Ebola. You know, do you remember Ebola? I don't know.
Yeah.
Ebola. Ebola was something vanished. That stayed in Africa and just vanished after it arrived in Europe. Two cases arrived in three, four, I don't know.
Yeah.
There are really few. And didn't do anything at the end. Except, of course, the deaths in Africa.
Yeah.
But to the whole world, nothing ever happened like this.
Yeah, that's true.
One thing that at one time. And if you think about it, you cannot find anyone that can tell you you should behave like this, not even your parents, your grandparents, because no one ever experienced that. So if you're young, if you're a student, if you're someone that is really young, you cannot like the other people in your life would never be able to tell you what to do because they don't have the experience.
Yeah.
They have the same experience as you. So yeah, it is what it is, and we see what happens. We're planning, me and Adil, we are planning to do a university special episode.
Yeah.
Where in each episode we're going to interview different people from different universities so that young people, young students, like before graduating, like us, could just understand how the university life is in each part of the world and what it means to be in a top university, what it means to your social life, to your academic life, and etc. So soon, stay tuned, and we'll see. We'll see each other soon.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening, and hopefully you are safe. Bye.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.